Good morning. Good morning, and let's get started here. We're on Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. We are moving through the second parak of Maseches Sota, and once again, we have an exciting day ahead. More lumdus right into the deep, right in our inner Maseches Sota. Amar Rava. Lo shanu ela shalom nesachmu panav. We had a machlokas, a discussion, in the day, towards the end of yesterday, as to whether we need Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara, right when the Gemara started, says that we need a new Kli Cheres. A new Kli Cheres. The Rabbanan, the Tanakhama, say that we don't need a new Kli Cheres. We don't need a new earthenware vessel to hold the water, to hold the dirt. So Amar Rava, that which the Rabbanan said, that we don't need a new one, Lo Shanu Ela Shalo Nesach Mupanav, that's only where the one, according to the Rabbanan, is not discolored. Aval nesach mupanav, but according to the Rabbanan, if it's not new and it's discolored, psulin, then it's also psulin. So Rabbi Shmuel needs some sort of new kli cheres, while the Rabbanan don't need it to be new, but they need it to be not discolored. My taima, what's the reason that according to the Rabbanan, if it's discolored, it's psul? Dumya demayim, it's compared to water. Ma mayim shelo nishtanu, just like water cannot be discolored, af kli shelo nishtanu, so too the kli cannot be changing, cannot be discolored. By the way, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura that what happens by hilchos netilas yadayim? Can we use water that's discolored for netilas yadayim? So the Shulchan Aruch says no.
Really?
Shulchan Aruch argues, and he says no. The Mishnah Brura limits that, and he says, wait, how did it get discolored? If something happened to it, something like human, so to say, spilled into it, paint spilled into this water, and now it looks green, then you're right, we can't use it. However, if we're by some sort of lake or whatever, and there's a lot of seaweed next to this water, and it's greenish, then that's fine, says the Mishnah Brura. But if something spills into it, some coke spills into it, it wouldn't be allowed. Anyways, talking about discolored water.
If you're on the plane,
is it the same halacha with reference to water in a mikvah?
That if it's discolored by itself, it'd be okay?
Yeah.
Seemingly.
So.
Seemingly. And on the plane would probably be similar.
Like in the bathroom, usually the water there is like saturated with like this white kind of coloring.
So what's the white coloring from?
I have no idea. I guess it's in their system or something.
Hold on a second. But that, interestingly, that goes away if you let it sit, right? Specifically that. I remember, right? If you let it
sit. So would paint, though, let it sit for a while?
Good question. So what about plain water? Because plain water seems to be is it chemicals or it's by itself?
It's most likely chemicals.
Most likely chemicals. That'd be interesting to see if we could use. Is white discolored?
It's discolored, yeah, for sure.
It's colored.
It's colored white. Great question. Let's mark down that question. I want to know the answer to that question.
Just flew to the U.S. I remember specifically the water when I went to the bathroom.
I just want to write it down. Thanks for asking, Dave. That's a great question. Because according to what we're saying here in the Mishnah Brura, that the limit is to where it only happens by itself. That's where it's
like naturally,
right.
So is this considered naturally?
Excellent. Okay. Hopefully we'll get an answer to that. Fantastic. Okay, great. Continues the Gemara. Boi Rava, nis'akmu v'chzirun toch kivshanesh v'nislabnu mahu. Great. Now, according to the Rabbanan, where the earthenware kli does not have to be new, but it has to not be discolored. What happens if it was discolored? It went inside of some sort of like fiery furnace. Then it came out and it was whitened once again. Mahu. Does that work or not? Can we use that or not? Mirin came into idchu. Do we say that once it was no longer fit for use because it became discolored, it is no longer fit for use, it can't be used again? Odilma came into hador. Or perhaps once it returned to be fit for use, then we only take a snapshot in time at the present moment, and now it should be fit for use. Tashma, Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Elazar brings down Mitzora, which we're going to discuss a lot today, Mitzora, and the comparison between both Sota and Mitzora. Eitz Erez Ve'ezov, Ushniso Las, right? The cedar wood, the Ezov, the Hyssop, Ushniso Las, and the scarlet wool, Shehivshil Bohen Kupaso L'Achorav. What happens if you kind of threw it over your back and it became bent? Psulin. then it's possible. Like, they can't be used for the mitzora process if they were bent, if they went over the back. V'hosom, says Gemara V'hosom, hadre umishite, no, no. There, they could straighten out. So no, it seems to be that if they can straighten out, and it's still possible, and that seems to reflect on our Gemara, that if it became discolored and then became white once again, it shouldn't be okay. Says Gemara, no, it's different. You can't bring a proof from mitzora. Why? Hosom de ikluf iklufe. Because even though it straightens out again, it seems to be that once it's bent, it has those permanent bent marks. You know when you bend a piece of paper? And then you try to flatten it out again? So you're still able to see the fact that it was bent. So therefore, we can't bring a proof from mitzora, because even though that cedar wood or whatever, those wood things are bent, and they kind of can flatten out once again, it's not a pure flatten out, therefore that wouldn't be okay. Whereas water, or as a kli, after we do the dishes, after Shabbos, only the dishes are clean once again. They don't have food marks, food stains all over them. Whereas it's not the same here with these materials.
I don't know why it says bent and not folded. Because bent doesn't really mean there's going to be a crease in it. You can bend a piece of paper.
It's true. So I guess by hyssop or by scarlet wool, maybe bent is a better word than folded. Whereas by paper, probably folded is better. But if it's over the back, then it has some sort of weight that's going down in it properly. Okay, this is the Gemara that Chaim brought up yesterday after Shacharis, right towards the bottom of Amud Beis. Sometimes we just can't. Sometimes we don't get all the way there. But this Gemara that he was referring to for yesterday's Dvar Torah, Chaim Seldman brings a Dvar Torah these days from the Daf Yomi, and this is what he was referring to. Nichnas lehechal upanol imino v'chulu. The coin goes into the heichal for what? Little quiz at 6:05. The coin goes into the heichal to get what? He turns right.
The dirt.
He picks up. There's a secret little tile to the right. Picks it up. Scoops up a little dirt. And he puts it inside the water. So, he turns to the right. Makom hayasham. Sorry. My time. Why does he turn right? Of course, he turns right because that's where the entrance has him turning right to go to the tile. The question is a deeper question. Why did we place the tile that would be to his right, instead of placing it anywhere else in the Heichal, right? So my taima, to Amar Mar, as brought down from Maseches Yuma, as Rashi says, kol pino shata pona, any turns that we turn, lo yuela derchimin, the turns that we turn, the way in which we turn, we should turn towards the right. A quick little discussion. Where does that come up, lahalacha? Just some instances.
Well, I was talking about yesterday.
Hanukkah candles. Sorry? Where in Hallel? Where do we turn towards the right? Maybe shaking the lulav. We shake the lulav and Esther, we turn towards the right, right? When we go up for an aliyah, right? If it's equidistant, then we should go towards the right. Okay? Similarly, we turn around for Bowie v'Shalom Friday night. That's something that not everybody knows, right? We should be turning towards our right. And then again, making a full circle back towards our right. We shouldn't turn towards our left.
There's something that
should say the opposite. There's something that
Lahalach say the opposite? The Ari specifically says you should turn to the left and then continue for the full circle.
Interesting. So that comes up also a lot of the discussion, which is sometimes right or in a circle, left and right can be, depends on the perspective.
Was he left-handed?
The Birchas Kohanim also. Birchas Kohanim. When the Kohanim turn around, again, it's similar to Bowie v'Shalom. Similarly, Hagba, right? Hagba is brought up here, which I want to show you. But let me just point this out, and then I'll point one more thing out at the end. Okay, just first, by Hagba, brought down in the Shachnar, Kuf Lamed Dalad, which has the Seder of Ahu Rachum and Hagba. By the way, interesting, in the Shachnar, Hagba, the Halachos of Hagba come before the halachos of the Kriyas HaTorah. Why?
Nesuch Sfar.
Because the Shulchan Aruch has Sfar. Anyways, just interesting to point out that if you're trying to find Hagba, you don't look after Kriyas HaTorah, it's before. So he says here, in Beis, Mara Pnei Ksivas Sefer Torah La'am Ha'omdim Limino L'Smolo U'machziro L'Fanav U'la Acharav. Anyways, there's a whole discussion here, but he says to turn to the right and turn towards the left. Does that mean full circle? Does that not mean full circle? You'll see people doing both, or turning to the right, turning towards the left. I think the way that I kind of have been taught is that pick it up, and I turn towards the right, and you make the full circle. There's a whole discussion here as to how that works. Then, I wanted to bring out also, Dini Hachnasas Shavas. Take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, or in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Samach, where he says, Mitzvah Lirchotz, right? Erev Shabbos, we should wash ourselves. Panav Yoda V'ragla V'chamer Erev Shabbos. U'mitzvah L'chov HaRosh, it's sort of shampoo our hair. U'legalea Chatziparnayim, and to cut our fingernails of Erev Shabbos. Interesting. By the way, the Be'er Heitev brings down here something that we have probably heard before and hibby jibby kind of stuff, right? He brings down the Gemara in Maseches Nida, Hasarev Tziparnav Chassid, Kovran Tzadik, that whoever burns their nails is a Chassid, whoever buries them is a Tzadik, Zorkon Rasha. Whatever throws them out, kind of just like throws them on the floor, that's a Rasha, brought down in Nida, Yud Zayin. That's why we flush them down the toilet, that's considered, I think, burying them, that's generally, I think, what's done. Vatam, why do we have this very unique halachos around nails? Anybody know? Everybody's heard this, right? So it's now referring to nails, specifically nails. Dekodem achet shalatam harishon hayamalvush tziporen. Because before the chet, Adam and Chava were totally nails. They were some sort of translucent type of material.
Right here.
Right. Uchshechata, after they sin, nispashet mimenu v'lonishar menu rakzi pernayim. And it kind of, everything left, but the nails stayed. Right? So he brings it down here from the Tolas Yaakov. But fascinating, you know, just see that source. And I think, I remember that nails always grow. Remember this, nails always grow. Which means that we're constantly, like, striving to get back to that original sense of who we were. And maybe only on the fingernails and on the toenails, on the places that we touch, on the world that we touch, on what we do, on the places that we go, we have this ability to truly touch the world in a way that would help us get back before the sin. The Ramah brings down, just getting back to fingernails, Ukshanotol tziparnav loyitol oso kesidron. We shouldn't cut them in order, but what should we do? To the right, to the right. So this is the way I remember, right? On the right hand, for instance, we take the index finger, and then the fourth finger, so second, fourth, and 1, 3, 5. Then on the left hand, again, if we're turning towards the right, but we don't do it straight, because he says, lo yitolo san a kisidron, that we shouldn't do them in order, yaskel b'smol, b'kmitza, so by the small, we do the fourth, 4, 2, 5, 3, 1, by the right end, it's 2, 4, 1, 3, 5. So just, we should remember that when we do our fingers, that it's, that we jump around, but it's always moving towards the right on our hands. Just something to keep in mind, brought down here in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses it also. Here he says that we don't really have to do it. B'tashbeitz kosov shahamaram lo dikdik b'zeh, v'kach, v'chein kosva al ha'ri, mikol makam yesh li zara l'chachil. Says Magen Avraham that if we can, why not? It's a good thing to be aware of. Tov, a bunch of places where we turn towards the right. But there's a thing also, there's places that we turn towards the left. Right? We take 3 steps back in Shmon Ezra. Oh, says shalom bimromav, who ya says shalom aleinu. Why are we pointing towards the left? So I think that when I saw this first, it was in Rav Schwab on prayer. I believe that he discusses it. I saw this a while ago. And why would we turn towards the left first? Oh, because it's our left, but it's the Shechina's right, which is why in Ber Haskonim also. In Ber Haskonim, by the Chaz and by Shalom, we kind of sway our hand back and forth. And I might sometimes hit Eli right in the face because I'm right in front of him. Essentially, I start towards the left and I move towards the right again because it's the Am. I'm facing the Am and it's to the right of the Am. Somebody yesterday came up to Chaim and was mentioning how it's not just like right as in we turn towards the right, but what's the significance of the right, and right is like chesed or whatever, and we're trying to kind of bring out that. Anyways, beautiful stuff. More there. Tana Rabbanan. Makom Hayasham Amma V'chulu. Right, so after coming turn right, there was this little section. Tana Rabbanan, that the Kohen should take, right? Umin afar asher yeh, that the Kohen should take from the dirt that was on the floor. Yachol yisaken mi bachutz v'yachnes. I would think that maybe he can take dirt out of the heichel and bring it inside. Tam lomar bekarka hamishkan, that the karka should be in the mishkan, right? That it's from the dirt that is, so to say, in the heichel. By the Gemara now is going to be on a whole discussion about this dirt, about what kind of dirt can be brought. Then it's going to discuss the ashes and dirt as to whether or not ashes are able to be taken. Bring up a lot of mitzvah, and that's going to bring us to Bezrat Hashem to the Tudah, or into the middle of Tezayin Amud Beis. So we have a whole discussion here. Ibekarka Hamishkan. Wait. ibekarka mishkan, if it's going to be with the karka mishkan, yachol yachbar bekardumos, then maybe we can start taking like a shovel and start to dig in there. Tamalom asher yiyeh. No, the words asher yiyeh, which means are kind of like placed there. It doesn't have to be prepared from there. You just kind of pick up the tile and scoop up a little bit of dirt. You don't have to start taking a drill or some sort of deep shovel and start to dig inside the Mishkan. Okay, so that's what's the case. Yesh sham have. Now what happens if ideally there is going to be the dirt there, and therefore we should just scoop some out. But im ein sham, then if there's no dirt there, tain sham, then essentially we can take the dirt there, place it on the ground though, and then take it from there. So the words bekarka hamishkan refers to the dirt should be from within the Mishkan, and asher yeh, which should be there. So if there's none there, let's bring there. Tani idach, umin afar asher yeh v'chulu, melame chayim esake nibachutz umachnes. No, we could prepare it from outside and bring it in. Bekarka hamishkan, so if we could do so, right, umin afar asher yeh, that from the dirt, from the earth, that can be brought in, then what are the words bekarka hamishkan coming to say? Isi ben Yehuda. Two Isis are going to be here. Isi ben Yehuda and Isi ben Menachem. Isi ben Yehuda says, Omer lehavi karka shilo. Know the givam. Ubeis olamim. Isi ben Yehuda says that the words bekarka mishkan are coming to include other dirt from other places. Which other places? It's coming to include shilo, nov the givon, which are 14 years after the Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, they erected the Mishkan Shiloh, right? And that stood for over 300 years. After that was destroyed by the Plishtim, we had the whole story of Shimshon about a week ago or so, from that period of time. Nov was, they built the Mishkan in Nov, then it was destroyed, they built the Mishkan in Givon, and then, of course, they built the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Olamim, by the way, is the Beis HaMikdash.
Now, what's interesting, though, they always talk about the amounts of
good question. I think we brought up in the Mishnah, where I'm going to discuss it on Amud Beis, that it has to be yir'eh alamayim. So it has to be some sort of amount that's discernible on the water. So we will discuss that. Excellent point. You're projecting ahead on where the Gemara is going. That's fantastic. Okay, ubeis olamim. Why is it called beis olamim, by the way? Bottom Rashi on the previous Amud. Beis hamikdash b'Yerushalayim karei beis olamim lefi she'ein achar kedushaso heter b'makom achar. The shuv lo shurs hashchina b'makom achar, that once that became the resting place for Hashem, in contrast with the Mishkan that went from place to place, once the base mikdash was built, that is the base olamim. That is Hashem's resting place forever. Just something to keep in mind. Isi ben Menachem Omer. So Isi ben Yehuda said that the words bekarka mishkan was referring to dirt that can be in the karka of other places too. Isi ben Menachem says eno tzarech. We don't have to include base olamim. Of course, the Mishkans are the other Mishkan is included from the three other places, but we don't have to say Beis Olamim. Uma b'tumakala lo chilei kakosav. By tumakala, which Rashi says, if somebody were to come in, likanes b'tumas haguf l'mikdash, if somebody were to come in with tumas haguf to the Beis Mikdash, she'ena b'misas beizdin ela kares, where there's no misas beizdin, but there's kares. Kares, here at least, it seems to show that Karis is a lesser penalty, less severe penalty than Misas Bezdin, right? Anybody familiar? Yeah, so it's pretty clear here in Rashi. Lo chilek hakasav bein mikdash l'mishkan, right? So, uma b'tumakala lo chilek hakasav, that by tumakala, which is if somebody comes into the base of mikdash when they're tame, then there's no differentiation between Misas Bezdin and Karis. So b'tumas isha, Ishes ish, the tuma of the ishes ish, where the punishment is a misa, where it's more severe, chamur lo kol shekein, then of course that should be the case. So if it's the case by coming to the Beis HaMikdash that way, then of course the tuma of ishes ish should be that way too. And therefore, if one can't enter the Mishkan, right, with that light sense of tame, then we need not point out that it works with the tuma chamura too. So why should we say karka mishkan? Shelo yavi mitoch kupaso, that a person shouldn't just bring it from like within his box or whatever, right? Rashi points out the second skinny line in Rashi, right? Lotoch kli yachnis lahechol, that a person shouldn't bring it from within his, from the dirt that he brought from wherever, bring it into the Echol. El mekar ki iso yito. But he should take it from the ground there. V'im ein sham, yavi v'yaniach sham. As we said before, if there is no dirt there that's available, then we should bring the dirt in and actually place it there. V'achar kach yitlenu v'nitkayim asher yeh v'nitkayim karkah. Right? So once we can take a little bit of dirt and put it there, that's great. It's no longer taking it inside of his kupa and just like using it, putting it directly inside the water, but there's some sort of kiyum of actually putting the dirt down in there, in that place, and then to take it out from there.
I don't understand the limud. He's arguing on the other, you see?
Mm-hmm.
What's he,
he's limiting the other Isi. Isi's limiting Isi. Isi, Ben Yehuda said,
right,
the base olamim. Base olamim seems to include not just the heichal area or underneath that tile, but a broader spectrum of where you can bring it from the base olamim, from the base of Mekdash. And he says, no, we don't have to include that, or we're not going to include that because we have these other places. Oh, no. Sorry. Maybe he means Bikarka Mishkan, maybe Isi Ben Yehuda is saying our place, right? Our makom. And then Isi Ben Menachem is saying there's no need to include it because we have cases where Tuma Kala.
So that part I don't get.
So further in Rashi, Lo Chilek HaKosov, right? If you take a look further in Rashi, just right after where I stopped, Shenemer beparshas paraduma shnei psokim. Ki es mikdash Hashem timei, es mishkan Hashem timei. So we have the mikdash and the mishkan that are referred to in the same pasuk. And if the mikdash and the mishkan are referred to in the same pasuk, then there's a comparison between the mishkan of Shiloh, Nov, and Givon, and the Beis HaMikdash.
So we know already that we can take the ground from there, so we don't need the special word Bikarka to teach us that.
Correct.
And therefore, right. Bikarka is teaching you that you can take from outside and put it inside.
From Nov, Givon, and Shiloh.
Yeah, but this is saying that Bikarka is going to teach us a lot more, that you can take from anywhere in the world and put it inside. No?
Is that what he's saying?
I think that's the Machlokas. That's the second Isi. The first Isi Ben Yehuda says you can only take it from those four places.
Ah.
And Isi Menachem, it sounds like he's saying...
Because the Rashi on top just said Einon Tzarach L'Rabos Beis Olamim, that the only thing that we don't have to include is Beis Olamim. But you're right, Isi Ben Yehuda. What Karka Hamishkan is coming to include are the three is the place where the three Mishkans are from. I'd be interested more because that was the Pashut Shot in Rashi where he's coming to limit it in a very very minute way. He's just coming to say, not from the base of Olam, meaning there's no reason to point out the base of Mekdash because we already know that there's a comparison. I'd be curious to hear if that base of Olam is referring to general base on Mekdash area or just from that same spot also. I'm not sure. Iboiluhu. Ein sham afar, mao shitein afer. Big discussion about to come up. If we can't put afar there, meaning if we don't have afar there, mao shitein afer. Can we use ashes instead? Right? Why? Aliba de Beis Shammai lo tiboiloch. There's no question according to Beis Shammai. Take a look in the Rashi across from where we are. Biplukta de Beis Shammai u Beis Hill b'shchita schulin. In Mesech schulin we have a discussion. A machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hill. Gaboi kisoi hadam. Kisoi hadam's a mitzvah to cover the blood of a bird that shechted or of a undomesticated animal that shechted. And the Torah says there that we should cover it with earth. Okay? B'shkita skulin. Gav hi shetam. Aliba de Beis Hill da amri efer koroi ofar. Dixiv lochu litame me efer sreifa sachatas. Right? So it says, the Torah uses the word efer, which is dirt, instead of... Use the word ofar, which is dirt, instead of efer, which is ashes. Which seems to kind of connect the two. Ube shami omer ofar sreifa nikra efer. Stoma lo ikre. No, he says that the only time we can say that afar, he says that the only time that we could include that afar's afar is when it says the word afar srefa. So Beis Shammai limits it to the case of kisui hadam, where Beis Hillel expands that afar and afar can be used more interchangeably. Okay? By the way, just afar and afar, I heard this point out once a while ago from Rabbi Rosner. It's a fascinating point. Afar and afar are both meaningless. They're both nothing, right? Afar and afar, dirt and ashes, are nothing. But what's the difference? Fascinating.
One is burnt and one is...
One used to be something.
And the other?
The other was always nothing.
Think of it, say a little better, Ellie. Ashes used to be something, but now they're nothing. They had a past, they have no future. Dirt has no past, but it could be a future. Dirt could be used to plant a tree. Dirt could be used for so much. Plant a field.
So can ashes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, usually they burn fields down in order to make it more fertile. By using the ashes.
The pshat that I heard went along these lines. I hear it. The pshat that I heard, and I don't remember what was going on exactly, but perhaps you can connect it hashkafically to this gemara here as to whether or not you can use ashes. Maybe we're showing her that you have to drink dirt, right? Dirt has to be in your water to show that you can have a future, you know, you can build and you can... Anyways, I'm not sure, but I was trying to fit it in. It was a little bit hard to do so late last night. But if anybody can, please feel free to share on the WhatsApp chat. So what do we find? Aliyah Beis Shammai, lo tiboilach. And there's no question according to Beis Shammai, because as we have in that machlokas there, those could be used. Offer sreifa is the only time when offer and afer can be used interchangeably. So there's no question there, because Beis Shammai would not allow it to happen. But according to Beis Hillel, where the offer and afer can be used a little bit more expansively, da'amri lo matzino afer shikari offer, right? Ki tiboilach aliyah Beis Hillel, da'amri matzino afer shikari offer. We find ashes that are called offer, dirt. So my, can we use, again, can we use ashes instead of dirt? My. Afagav to ikri. Oh, maybe that connects to what you guys are saying. Maybe the root of the achlokas is our ashes symbolic of future-oriented projection also. I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch. Afagav dikri afar, halki bikarka hamishkan ksiv. Even though we say the word afar, we do say the word dirt, we do say the word by kisi adam, right? That we... You know, we do say that it has to be covered with earth, hacha b'karka hamishkan ksiv. But here it also limits it with the word by sota, with karka hamishkan, so maybe you can't use the word ashes. Odil mahoi, hai b'karka hamishkan, l'chidi isi ben Huda, l'chidi isi ben Menachem udasi. But no, here according to where it says karka hamishkan, maybe that's only coming to limit where the isis have their discussion. So does Karka Mishkan limit the connection according to base? This is complicated. This was racking my head a lot last night, and way too late, and I was literally, my head felt like it was spinning around in circles. Maybe, according to Beis Hillel in Chulin, that has the connection between Ofer and Afer, whereas Beis Shammai says it's only where it's considered Afer, Ofer, Srefa. That's where the connection takes place, so there's no connection here. But according to Beis Hillel, where there is the expansion of Ofer all around Shas, where Ofer and Afer can be used more interchangeably, then maybe here it should work. But the Gemara says, no, maybe it shouldn't work. Why? Because we have the words Karka Mishkan. Maybe Karka HaMishkan is coming to limit our ability to say the word Ash. But no, maybe not, because maybe Karka Mishkan is only coming to be used for the EC discussion. The EC discussion as to the Mishkans, based on Olam, and whether or not that is included. Tashma, demar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Mishloshim akomos halacha okeves mikra. In three places, the halacha is, so to say, undermining the pasuk. Let's see. HaTorah amra, by kisui hadam, the Torah says be'ofar, right? It says with earth. The halacha l'moshe misinai is bechol davar. You can include ashes, you can include other things, you can make that happen. Eli, can I just ask you to show... like to help follow along much longer. Thank you so much. Halacha okeves mikra. Right, so here the afar then can be used to include other things. HaTorah amra. Now in the case of Nazir, that says, where the Torah says that he can't cut his hair with a razor, bitar with a razor, v'halacha v'chol davar. The halacha l'moshe misinai says that he can't cut his hair with anything. It's not just a razor, but he can't use scissors or anything. The Nazir can't cut his hair with anything. HaTorah Amra, the third case where we say that the halacha is okeves mikra, that undermines the pasuk, the halacha l'moshe misinai. What's the third case? The third case is referring to divorces, right? So, sefer, he has to use a sefer krisus, right? Some sort of sefer to divorce his wife, which seems to be very limited. Some form of, like, you have to, in some sort of special book, the halacha b'chol davar, but the halacha l'moshe says that you can use anything, you know, any sort of written document, as long as it's separated from the ground, as the Gemara in Gittin Yud Tes brings down. So as long as it's separated from the ground, then that would work. So then Isa, but wait, so what did we just say? There's only three cases where the halacha seems to be very, very limited, but the halacha l'moshe Sinai kind of undermines the pasuk. So then Isa, if we're going to say what? If we're going to connect it back to our Gemara, that by Sota it's not just earth, but it's also ashes, if we have that Ofer and Afer connection before, Lichshov Nami Hai, then let the Gemara refer to this as a fourth case. Why only three cases? Also by Sota. The Sota says dirt. Ofer. I get confused between Ofer and Afer. I apologize if it's taking me a second. Sorry? The Torah says Ofer, dirt, earth. So therefore, maybe this should be another case, a fourth case of where the Halach L'Moshe Misinai is saying also Afer, also ashes, and that's undermining the Pasuk. Says Gemara, no. Why not? Ton of a Shire. Classic Gemara answer. The list of three is not a full list. It's not an exhaustive list. The Tana taught some and left some out. Says Gemara, which is the rebuttal, Umay Shire to High Shire. Great. So why teach these three and not teach Sota? Why limit it to these three? What is the reason to not bring out Sota? And the way the Gemara usually pivots here is that if we could find another case where it comes up, so it's not just these three and then one exception, but another exception, we understand that there are cases where it's Tana v'Shire, where the Tana taught some and left some out. What is that other case? Of course, which I said before, we're going to talk about Mitzora again. So Shire Mitzora. We're going to talk about Mitzora. The Tanya, V'haya b'yom ha'shvi yigalach es kol se'aro. On the seventh day, he will shave off all of his hair. Klal. So we have a classic klal uprado klal. This is a very technical daf. Klal, right? The Torah says, kol se'aro, all of his hair. Es rosho v'esekono v'esgabos enov. The Torah continues, the hair on his head, the hair on his beard, v'esgabos enos, v'esgabos enov, his eyebrows, prat. That comes to limit it. First we say all of his hair. Then we point out just a couple parts of his hair, right? His hair here, his beard, and his eyebrows. That seems to be a prat, a limitation on the there was the expansion of everything, but the limitation of only three parts. Ves kol se'aro yigalach. The Torah continues to say, Ves kol se'aro, which means everything, chazar uklal. So what is that? Klal uprat uklal, which are things that we say every morning in Rabbi Yishmael Omer. It's one of the 13 principles of learning out the Torah. Iyata dan elak ena prat. So we only learn the prat, the limitation here, in this case. Ma prat mefurash, makom kinus sa'ar v'nir'eh. Just like the prat is mefurash. What does that mean? It's makom kinus sa'ar v'nir'eh. It's two specific principles, or two specific what's the word? Two parts of it. So what's the common denominator between the hair, the beard, and the eyebrows? Thank you, Ellie. Is that the hair there is bunched together, and it's seen to all. It's seen, but we're not talking here about clothes being on or off. We're just seeing that it's seen when we just stand up straight. Afko makom kinos sa'ar v'nir'eh. So too, all places that are kinos sa'ar v'nir'eh, that's what has to be done. So when there's a klal, uprat uklal, which is in the case by Mitzora's klal, everything, then those three places, which is a prat, and then a klal again, so we take what was in the limitation and we use that rule. Ma rabbi, so what else are we including from that rule? Which means that it's not only these three things, the hair, the eyebrows, and the beard, that we shave off by the Mitzora, but what else has those common denominators? Thank you, Ganelli. Rabbi Sier Haraglaim. We include the Sier Haraglaim, which is a euphemism for the pubic hair, as Rashi brings down. So therefore, why? Because that hair is bunched together and it's seen. Again, not clothes on or off, but when a person stands up straight. If there were no clothes on, then that part of the body can be seen. By the way, I think it's the Rabbam who says that the reason why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh? Because there's no swear words, there's no curse words, there's no bad words. Any private kind of words have euphemisms. That's Lashon HaKodesh. Modern Hebrew is not like that, but we do know that, according to the Rambam, at least, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Rambam who says this, that it's a certain sense of Kedusha, where the Gemara would often use certain euphemisms to describe acts in ways that it's not straight out.
And most modern Hebrew takes words from other languages.
Correct. Because Lashon HaKodesh is a holy language. We watch our mouth. Yes. Okay, good. So my miyate, so what are we precluding here? What's being excluded? If we're going to start including, right, pubic hair, then what is left out of this list, right? So miyate to beis hashechi udekule gufe. We are going to exclude underarm hair, right? Why? Oh, good. So it's bunched together, but it's not seen because when I stand straight and my arms are down, you can't see my underarm hair. Udekule gufe, and hair on our arms, hair on our legs. Why?
It's not bunched
together. Oh, it's not bunched together. Beautiful. So it can be seen, but it's not bunched together. The Hilchasa Megaleach Kidlas. And what's the halacha? The halacha seems to be, in the end, that we shave him like a gourd. Which means what? Shave off everything. The mitzvah gets shaved everything. Ditznan, balo lahakifas ha-mitzvah, maver taro kol besaro, we shave off everything. Vekotani seifa, ubayom ha-shi magalcho, tiglachas shnia, ketiglachas rishona. Then what happens there is that we shave it all off. So even though the Torah indicated that he would not be all shaven, the halach l'moshe mi-sinai here seems to say that we do shave it all off. Right, this whole thing about the shaving, about the limitations, or the common denominators, was again trying to prove what? Going back to what? Let's take a step back. We had three cases that the Torah was okeves, where the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, so to say, limited, undermined the halacha from the Torah. We then try to say, but what about Sota? Maybe this is a proof that Sota is off the list. Right? So Sota is off the list. It says dirt. Maybe it shouldn't be ashes. Right? So we said, no. There's another case of Mitzora. Then we said, no. Right? Or yeah. So now we're saying that this case of Mitzora, the Torah seems to indicate through the Klal Uprata Klal that it should only be certain parts of the body, whereas the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai comes to indicate that we shave off everything, even though according to our principles, we should not have. So this would say that, yes, the Sota is also included on the list. A lot to take in, a lot to digest, but a quick chazar should be able to have it all clear. Amram Nachman Bar Yitzchak. No, this is not a good proof. Why? Hika Choshev. That whole thing about Rabbi Shmuel, Halacha Okeves Mikra. That was by Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Ha Okeves Midrabanan Hi. But don't bring me a proof from Mitzora, because it's not a Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Mitzora is a Dirabanan. Rav Papa Amar, another rejection to this. Hika Choshev Halacha Okeves Vokeres. We said before cases of Rabbi Shmuel where the Halacha approves the din Ha Okeves Umosefesi. By the Mitzora, it's different. There's a nuance here where it's different, where we're adding it on. So we said to shave these parts of the body, and now we're shaving all parts of the body. Some of the cases there, we're kind of limiting what we said before. And it's not adding on, it's not the expansion. Rav Ashim, our third answer, why we cannot add on Mitzora, which would also indicate that it was ton of a shire, which means that we should also add on Sota. A third answer, why not? Hamasi Samani, our mission is who? Rabbi Shmolhi. Our mission is Rabbi Shmol. The Dorish Kol Uprate, because he holds Klal Uprat, right? The Klal Uprat was what again? Klal was a general principle, Prat was limitation, Klal again. And therefore we had a principle that we learned from that, which was hair that's bunched together, and hair that can be seen by all. Then we take that principle and we expand it to other areas where those two common denominators are in place. Make sense? There's also another opinion, Kidlas Mani, but the gourd opinion was who? Rabbi Akiva here. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva, who holds the Darsh Ribuye Umiyute. So Rabbi Akiva says that does not hold of Klal Uprata Klal. He holds of Ribuye Umiute, which means amplification and specification. The Tanya, this is a deep machlokas, let's try to understand elites, at least in the Daf Yomi world, at its basic level. The Tanya was taught in Ebraisa, Vayabayom Ashvi Yagalachas Kol Se'aro, he should shave his whole body, which is a riba, an expansion. Es Rosho Vesgono Vesgabos Enav, his hair, his beard, and his eyebrows, again, miate, which is what we were saying before about Klal Uprata Klal. It's similar. This is a Ribuye Umiyute, according to Rabbi Akiva. Veskos Aro Yigalach, and all of his hair he should shave. Chazar Viriba. This is, again, an expansion. Riba Umiyate Viriba, Riba Hakol. Then everything's included. My Riba, so what do we include? Riba de Kule Gufe. He says we include everything. Umay Miyate, what do we exclude? Miyate Seir Shebetocha Chotem. Right, we do have a little bit of an exclusion there, and that's the nose hair. Right, nose hair, I guess maybe we'll say it's not bunched together, and maybe we'll say it's not seen, but either way, the nose hair is excluded here, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's all. So why? So again, well, so what was the answer here, according to Rabbi Shmuel? That Rabbi Shmuel holds this principle. Let's try to get this as clear as we can for right now. Rabbi Shmuel holds the principle of klal uprat uklal, which means that what? Can anybody explain that in a quick little nutshell?
You already explained it so well.
Please, Ellie, please. It's on the tip of your tongue. When there's a klal, amplification, sprat, specification, and then another amplification, then what do? We take the common denominators of the specification and we extend that rule to others. Okay? But by ribuye umiyute, it's a little bit different. And that's according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva holds Ribui Umiyute, not like Rabbi Shmuel Klal Protokal. And Rabbi Kiva's amplification, specification says that once there's a specification, we somehow include almost everything. He seems to expand it much, much more, right? There's a prot and there's something else, and that's why we expand it to shave the entire Mitzora's body like a gourd, and therefore this opinion is all in Rabbi Akiva, it's not in Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore we can't use this, again, this is just all saying, we can't use this as a proof back to saying that Mitzora is included on the list, and therefore it's not only those three, but Sota should be on the list too.
What would it hurt if we did just shave it all off?
Does he have to?
Huh?
The question is if he has to, you know?
I think Rav Haber says, right? It's very easy to be, just to kind of be a yes man. Or like, don't do this, no, you know, just kind of be on the safe side. The Torah doesn't want us to just kind of do everything just in case and just in case.
It doesn't really get to the issue of what's the significance of hair in this whole thing.
Excellent. You're right. So we haven't gone into the Mitzorah and the depth of the Mitzorah and what it means to shave off his hair and why we go through the process. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We're now in the Gemara going through the technicality of which part we have to shave. You're right. We hopefully will be able to understand at some point. I don't know it offhand. I wish I did. But as we've been bringing out by Sota a lot over the last couple of days, that every part of the process, even the fact that it's a kli cheres, the fact that the water is from a mayan, every part of this process, the dirt and what, every part of it has deep symbolism. Here by Mitzorah too. I just don't know it offhand. But you're right.
To do something with the Nazir?
Maybe. Maybe, but by the Mitzorah, it's not. Anyways, so let's just a few minutes, and I want to get a few more lines down. So my havi Allah. So how do we conclude? Tashma damar avhuna bar ashi amarav ain sham afer. If there's no dirt, earth, maybe rak bubis yerek umekadesh. Then what should you bring? Some sort of dust of a decayed vegetable, and that's what you should be mekadesh. Velohi, and don't ask why not. Why not? Meaning why. The velohi, and you can't bring ash, why not? Because rakbubis yerakhu dehavi afer. Because the dust of a decayed vegetable that had dirt on it, but afer lohavi afer. But ash had no dirt. So we conclude that ash cannot be used, and it can't be added onto this list of three, which we thought that it might be based on the Mitzorah, because we knocked out the fact that that the Mitzorah should be on the list, so no longer is it a ton of a shire, which Sota would be on the list. So we concluded here that we cannot use ash in that process. I wanted to do a few more lines, but if you take a look at Amud Beis, but tomorrow's daf, it's very, very short. So perhaps we'll stop up here. I just felt like I had to share one thought, one of my favorite Daf Yomi thoughts, just based on the Gemara that we had today. The intro to the Ein Yaakov has a question. What is the most important pasuk in the Torah? Intro to the Ein Yaakov. I'm not asking it. He was asking it. What is the most important pasuk in the Torah? So what do you guys say? Shema Yisrael. Maybe after Recha Kamocha. Maybe Bereshis Bara Elokim. So he knocks these all out. No. What's the most important pasuk in the Torah? Says intro to the Ein Yaakov. Es HaKeves Echad Taseh B'Boker. What we say in the morning also, by a carbon tamid, we bring in the morning, we bring in the afternoon. He explains there beautifully, very, very powerfully, that Judaism is about consistency. It's about doing something, it's about keeping to it. It's not like every morning we wake up and, so should I go daven today? You know, we have the big decisions that we make, and we should keep to them when times get rough. You know, this is what we do. This is who we are. And we can always grow and tweak and make sure that it works. But consistency is very important. So as we were discussing a lot of Kutchum-type stuff and Carbonos-type stuff and Dom and things like that, I felt like I had to bring that up. Because especially, guys, we're celebrating 2 weeks of learning Daf Yomi together. It's Wednesday, which is an unbelievable schus, which is incredible. And we should continue to strengthen ourselves through these gemaras that are no longer pure agadata, through the mornings that are beginning to get cold and rough. We should continue to be able to shite together, learn together, grow together. Have an excellent day.